And we're back. It is today's Topical Currents. Joseph Cooper, along with Bonnie Berman on this Wednesday afternoon. Well, today we discuss collaborative divorce. That sounds like an oxymoron, but actually it's a more civil and less combative way to end a marriage. Joining us is Carol Ann Mazza, a collaborative attorney who specializes in family-related issues. Welcome to you, Carol Ann.
Hi.
Hi, good to have you. Also with us is Luana Mobley Corral of Crossroads Consulting of South Miami. She'll tell us more about the financial side of collaborative divorce. And good afternoon to you.
Thank you.
Thanks for joining
us. And we have Nova Southeastern University family therapist Dr. Randy Heller in the studio as well. She's a mental health counselor and certified Supreme Court mediator. Welcome to you.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
So let's start. We were talking before the program about how collaborative divorce is not mediation. So we want to clarify that, but give us a thumbnail of collaborative divorce, exactly what is entailed.
Okay. Collaborative divorce is an alternative to traditional divorce litigation in that the couple agrees from the beginning to address their issues openly and honestly with the aid of their collaborative team and without going to court. And it differs from mediation because the way we all utilize mediation in our current system is that mediation is generally part of a litigated case. So there's the lawsuit, there's the filing, there's the service, there's the back and forth. And then a couple is sent to mediation by a judge. And they do have an opportunity to resolve their issues and reach an agreement at that point in time. The difference is that at that point, it's very positionally based. And there's not a lot of incentive for couples to mediate productively, because if one part of the couple doesn't want what the other part does, they'll just go to court. They have a court date. It's all set. The process is in motion. Collaborative is very different because the process starts from the very beginning without court. The couple agrees in writing by signing a participation and agreement, which is virtually a contract.
Is it legally binding?
It's legally binding from the perspective of, well, yes, actually. And if I can elaborate a little more, the couple agrees not to go to court, and all of the professionals working with them on their team sign the same agreement. And what the agreement says is that the couple will not go to court to seek redress. They will openly and honestly discuss their issues, provide information, and work with their collaborative team. And the caveat there is that the couple always has the opportunity to go to court. If the process breaks down, they still have the right to go into court and have a judge resolve their issues. The professionals on the team are precluded from going to court with that couple. So they would have to get other lawyers and other professionals involved in their case if they wanted to go to court if the process broke down, which doesn't happen very often.
Doesn't.
So how are these professionals chosen?
Originally and traditionally, a couple who's having issues, one or the other will go to a lawyer to find out what their options for divorce are. And our responsibility as lawyers is to give a couple all of the information that they need and present all their options for how they can resolve their divorce issues. Specifically talking about mediation or litigation or collaborative divorce, et cetera. And then from that part of the process, once the couple hires lawyers, then there are teams of people that are already put in place. There are groups of people who are collaboratively trained that the couple will be referred to.
So, Dr. Heller, how do I know if it's right for me? How does a couple know when collaborative divorce is right for them versus a conventional divorce?
Well, that's a great question. And oftentimes the couples are with me as a marriage and family therapist. So they're with me and they're trying to work out their issues. And I'm talking with them about finding a better way to do this. The focus is most often on the children, if a couple has children. And we talk about the necessary ability for these two people to learn to work out their issues in the best interest of their family and their children. And so, to be honest with you, when I talk about divorcing with couples, I talk about the idea that there really is no other way to do it than to sit down and be collaborative and solve problems and be able to work together for the benefit of their children and their family.
And, okay, so you have attorneys, you have mental health counselors, and you have financial advisor as well?
Correct.
Okay, Luana, tell us what you do.
Well, sometimes the divorce may start with me. It might start with Randy. Someone will come in and they're interested in figuring out what would happen if I were to divide up my stuff. So we might start a conversation there, and typically then I will refer them out to people that are in the collaborative community to talk to them about doing a collaborative divorce if they opt to make that option. But what they come to me for is to help them figure out, how am I going to divide up the money? How am I going to divide up the pension? How am I going to support my children? Because, and what if I, you know, I've not worked. I've been a housewife for the last 20 years, and, you know, how do I get money to come into me? So we're looking at spousal support. We're looking at child support, how those things interconnect. We're looking at the best way to divide up the assets so that it will support the family in the best way possible going forward.
Go on.
The bottom line is that when the family gets divorced, they're still a family. It's just the structure's a little bit different. So you still have all the issues of being able to provide for education for the children, being able to provide all the support means that you would have to provide in an intact marriage. So we're looking for ways to divide things up so it'll be tax efficient, cost effective, and is going to provide the best scenario possible for each individual couple that's going through that process.
So if alimony is set and child support is set, what if one of the partners defaults then? If it hasn't been court ordered, how can it be enforced?
I'm going to defer that to the attorney. In
okay.
Yeah. Well, all divorces in Florida have to be sanctioned by a judge. So a judge is the only one who can divorce a couple.
So you go to the judge and say, this is a done deal here.
It's a done deal.
And it's kind of rubber stamp it.
Yes. This process, they're going to the judge with an agreement already in place. And that agreement is enforceable if necessary. What we find, though, with the process is because the couple is really the ones making their agreement from the very beginning, it's rare that people are going back to court to have that agreement enforced. They're generally abiding by the agreements.
And generally, most of the agreements have a clause in them that will encourage them to go back to the process if there are issues, rather than take it to court.
Right, and because it's a client-driven process, and we are teaching them to do things that they probably have never done as a married couple in conflict. We're teaching them to solve their problems, to come up with creative solutions. So typically, they sustain.
Do they ever decide to stay together then?
Yes, it's a really great question. There have been couples, for one, many couples, when I sit on a team, who have said to me, we wish we knew you before, and we wish we knew how to do this problem solving and communicating and brainstorming and reconnecting before. There are couples who reconcile. Unfortunately, many couples, by the time they get to us, they're kind of past that point. And what I can tell you is that they come out better able to co-parent, better able to work together, mm-hmm. better able to restructure their families.
Is this only for legally married people, or is it for people who have cohabited and have children, or even if they don't have children, just for those who have cohabited without being married?
Oh, sure, absolutely. Yes. And I'll defer to Carol Ann for that. But yes, collaborative process is a way to help people to resolve conflict and to solve problems in a better way. So absolutely.
Yes, absolutely. This process is for any type of family issue, whether it's post-judgment, meaning after the divorce has already happened, mm-hmm. or couples who have never been married but have children together, for same-sex couples, for couples without children. It's a healthier, more forgiving way mm-hmm. to resolve and to go into the next phase of a person's life. And the process itself is actually expanding into other areas of the law, including probate, including employment issues, you know, corporate issues. There are other areas of the law that are starting to expand into this process.
And we also find that during this process, there's a lot of healing that goes on because they are reconnecting in a very different way. And we are all there as a team to help them to do that.
We're speaking about collaborative divorce on today's Topical Currents. If you have a comment or question, actually, why don't we take our break?
Okay, we can do that.
First, we're speaking with Carol Ann Matza, collaborative family attorney with Carol Ann Matza, focusing on family law and family-related issues. Luana Mobley-Corral, she's a certified financial planner and with Crossroads Consulting of South Florida, Inc. And we're speaking with Dr. Randy Heller, licensed mental health counselor, marriage and family therapist, certified Supreme Court mediator, as is Carol Ann Matza. Anyway, all that to say we need to take a short break. We'll come back and we'll take your calls and comments. And welcome back to today's Topical Currents. We are speaking about collaborative divorce with some experts, Carol Ann Matza, a collaborative family attorney, Luana Mobley-Corral, certified financial planner, and Dr. Randy Heller, a licensed mental health counselor. If you'd like to join in the conversation, if you want to ask a question, or if you have a comment, the number is 1-800-743-9576. That's 1-800-743-9576. You can email radio@wlrn.org, or you can tweet us at Topical Currents if you want to find out if maybe collaborative divorce is right for you. Go ahead.
What's the most common cause of a breakdown in the collaborative system?
You know, that's a really good question, and I would say that it's caused by a multitude of issues.
I would think Either finance or children's custody issues.
Well, first and foremost, in the state of Florida now, and Carol Ann could talk more about that, it's referred to as timeshare. So it's a process where the parents are deciding how they're going to share time with their children, not have custody. So that's a really important issue. But the breakdown is really about an inability to communicate effectively. And that's where we try to help them the most. The breakdown could be where one person is typically more ready to be divorced than another. We find that that usually that's the case. And so we say that we move as fast as the slowest person on the case. And we try to pace ourselves and the process to meet everyone's needs. And because the needs are different, then there can be a breakdown. However, as a team, we work very hard to address whatever issues are in front of us that might cause a breakdown. And so we're proactive in that, and we're working together to prevent that as much as we can.
You mentioned the pace. Is collaborative divorce, would you say it's slower than the conventional process? Because of all the people that have to agree on meeting times and places and...
I don't know that it's necessarily slower, but I think the difference is that you get to control the pace. When you're in the court system, you've got a court docket that you've got hearings and you've got things that are set up that are constantly a target that you've got to meet, and you've got to meet certain requirements by that time, which Carol Ann could speak to those a whole lot better than I can. But I think in the collaborative process, it just gives you the ability to do like Randy said, take it as slow as the person that's the slowest on the mm-hmm. team, so that you can try to prevent having the blow up, prevent having the meltdown, because you want to, part of what our job is to educate, you know, part of my job is to take the person who has less experience dealing with money and to educate them and bring them up to speed so that they can negotiate in this collaborative process, you know, on a more even playing field. Part of Randy's job is also to help that person who's less ready to be there to, you know, try to help them catch up to get on so that we can have a level playing field. So it's, I don't know that it's slower or faster.
Okay.
It's just you get to set the pace, and that's the difference. You have the control over that.
And our court dockets are so crowded. The family judges are behind the amount of filings. There are quite a few pro se filings, meaning couples who are filing without lawyers. And sometimes you'll get a hearing date 3 or 4 months down the road, as opposed to having the ability to set these meetings at your own pace and not be bound by somebody else's calendar.
Does it tend to be less expensive than traditional divorce?
It's much more cost effective. And, you know, of course, the expense depends on the complexity, et cetera, and the length of time. But the traditional divorce process is very, very expensive. And a lot of that time is spent going to court with lawyers waiting to see a judge, etc. Lawyers talking back and forth as opposed to the couple being able to speak face to face, trying to get documents exchange, etc. In the collaborative process, the process itself is designed to be more cost effective because the couple would be talking, for example, about their parenting issues with the mental health professional, who is a person who is an expert in that field. Mm-hmm. And they'll be doing that without the involvement of the lawyers and the financial professional, and at a much reduced cost. And that person will help them develop that parenting plan. And then it would be reviewed by the lawyers, as opposed to having lawyers individually drafting a parenting plan. And the same thing with the financial professional. And I know Luana can speak more to this. She will work individually with the couple, as opposed to having two lawyers work out financial issues, and that's not really our level of expertise. So you get the person, you get the expert at a lower cost, and so it makes the whole process more cost effective.
Let's get down to the nitty gritty here. I suppose infidelity must bring out the worst in a spouse, and does that prod more people to go to court and maybe want to exact a deeper pound of flesh?
Well, I think that that's a possibility. And at the same time, when we're working with these people, we're trying to help them to move beyond the issues that got them to where they are in the first place. So whether it's infidelity, whether it's a lack of communication, whether it's just that the gap is too wide between them, we're really working with them on focusing on what's really important, which is, if they have children, definitely the children, preserving the family relationships in the best interest of the children, and an ability to, as I said before, heal and move forward. So you're correct. There are times where one just wants to get the other, and with a mental
health... Few of my friends have experienced that.
Mine too. And at the same time, we're continually focusing them, refocusing and redirecting them on the bigger picture. And I can tell you, in all due respect to traditional litigation, that has a tendency to feed into that anger. That litigation process, that war, that divorce war, feeds into that process of anger, and I'm going to get you and you're going to get me. And when we're all sitting around and we're trying to help them to move beyond that, it typically works much more effectively.
How old? Go ahead. You were
going to
say something?
I was just going to say that your question is poignant, because people think that they're going to be able to exact that revenge in court. And the reality is, there's nothing in court that can solve the underlying issues in a divorce or a family matter, which is emotional. There are legal aspects, of course, of a family case, but the underlying issues are all emotional, and court is no place to have your emotions addressed. So when one part of the couple, the person who's been cheated on, for example, thinks that they're going to drag their spouse into court and that judge is going to punish them for mm-hmm. treating them badly, that's not what happens, because the judge is not there to do that. So often that litigated process is very unsatisfying emotionally, mm-hmm. and those emotions remain.
A judge doesn't consider the cause of the problem?
In Florida, we have no-fault divorce, so that means there doesn't have to be a reason. In very limited circumstances, an issue like fidelity would come into play, for example, if there's a question of dissipation of assets. But infidelity in of itself doesn't need to be the reason. Two people can wake up one day and decide, oh, we want to get divorced, and so that would qualify in Florida.
We have some calls, but I just wanted to ask a brief history of collaborative divorce? How old is it? And
well, actually, a lawyer named Stuart Webb in Minnesota, he was a pretty heavy litigator. And in 1990, he said, there has to be a better way. He would come home from the courthouse every day drained and distressed because of the war that he was involved in every day. And so it actually began way back in 1990, and then it started taking off all over the country. Now it's all over the country and international. We have a collaborative practice in Ireland, in England, in Italy, in Israel, and on and on.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
Well, let's take a call or two. This is Ryan in Pompano Beach. Hi. Ryan,
hi,
you're up.
You. Yeah, hi. Thank you very much for taking my call. I first have a quick comment and then a question. Being a child of divorce myself, I can certainly appreciate, and I appreciate you bringing this up. And had it been available 20 years ago, or I guess it sounds that it might have been, maybe it could have spared my parents and me and my sibling the agony. But so thank you for talking about this today. My question is, I'm an investment advisor myself and would love to be involved in the process to help either prevent divorce through this collaborative process or to just make it less painful for those who are going through it. So how would I help?
The Institute of Certified Divorce Financial Analysts would be a place for you to go for some training just on the financial aspects of divorce itself. And I know as a CFP, when I was going through my own divorce, I thought I knew everything that I needed to know about how to divide up all my money. And I took the training and I found out, whoops, there was more to know. So that would be one of the things that I might suggest that you do. I also took the Florida mediation training in the state of Florida because it helps you become more familiar with what the law is, not that you are going to be practicing law because that's absolutely not what you're going to be doing, but it just helps you to be more familiar with the process in terms of how it works. And there are collaborative organizations like ours, the Collaborative Family Law Professionals of South Florida, that I would encourage you to look into the group that's closest to where your practice is located so that you could become a member of that group and get yourself connected with other professionals that are working in this process.
And the most important thing, Ryan, that you could do for families is to talk to them about this alternative, because so many of the families out there don't know about collaborative process. And so if you become informed and then you inform someone and then they inform someone, in our minds it's a ripple effect.
Yeah. So and Ryan, we'll have links to the Collaborative Family Law Florida.com, FL.com, and the Collaborative Practice.com on our website.
I'd also encourage you to look up the International Academy of Collaborative Professionals. And that's the umbrella organization. It's the international organization, and you'll find a wealth of information on collaborative practice.
And the Collaborative Family Law Professionals of South Florida is a Broward-based group. There's a group called the Collaborative Family Law Institute, which is a Miami-Dade County-based group, and they have a website as well.
Okay. Too much information, Ryan?
That was a lot to write down. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Ryan.
Okay, thanks for calling.
They will be on our Topical Currents Facebook page as well as the WLRN.org website.
Great.
Okay, I don't want to get too personal, but I'm wondering if it was your own experience that brought you to this field or a bad experience with a divorce.
Well, sure, I'm happy to talk about that.
This is Dr. Randy Heller.
I actually researched and wrote my dissertation on the mental health professional working in this process, and so my whole chapter one is about how I became involved in this process, and fortunately it helped me because I do come from a legacy of family divorce, and so I myself, like our last caller, struggled with the adversity in my family and knew that there had to be a better way. As a psychotherapist, I began working with families in divorce and children in divorce and saw the casualties of divorce every day. and saw the anger and the resentment and the perpetual cycle of divorce. And so it became my passion to help families, knowing that there had to be a better way. And I want the listeners to understand that none of us advocate for divorce. However, what we do advocate for is making something that could be bad less bad. And I quote Luana when I say that. And so, yeah, I think many of us have either experienced divorce in our own lives, or we can turn to our left and turn to our right and see people who have. And so we just believe passionately that there is a better way to do this.
Yeah. My experience as a family law litigator, former family law litigator, is I just do not want to be involved with the destruction of families in court any longer. And the reality is court is destructive. There is nothing nice about court. You are adversaries in court. And my belief is that families do not belong in court. And like my colleagues, I come from a divorce family as well. And if there's anything that I could do to help people make it a little bit better, that's what I'm here to do.
And Luana?
In my own practice, because I'm helping people deal with their money as a financial planner, when a divorce happens, you can see in a litigated process the dissipation of assets, because in that process, attorneys are not necessarily, and I won't say that they're all like this, but they're not necessarily looking to settle a case. They're always preparing to go to court. So the emphasis of what they're working on isn't necessarily going to be in the best interest of the family long term. So that you deal with the emotional cycle, you deal with the financial cycle, you see what happens to the children, because my clients are like family to me. You see what happens to the children. And I just know from years of seeing that with clients who get divorced that there has to be a better way. So, you know, my goal and my mission is to help people, if they've decided to go through that process, is to help them do it and to help them become more educated, to help them do it in a way that is going to be less stressful, that's going to leave them with hope for their future. Because out of the process, when you go through traditional litigation, it just leaves people so devastated. Mm-hmm. They come out of it filled with so much acrimony, and it's just psychologically and emotionally and just every way, it's nasty. And
then they're expected to go and co-parent.
Exactly.
Correct. And, you know, it used to be believed that children of divorce were scarred for life and they'd be damaged and they'd be those children that you see acting out and failing in society. What we now know is that if this can be done in a better way, these children will do well. These children will not only just manage, they will do well, because they've learned how to handle adversity. They see how people handle adversity. They learn how to problem solve. They learn how to communicate because they're seeing their parents do it.
And maybe compromise.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Let's take another call. This is Steve in Fort Lauderdale. Thanks for your patience. Hi. Steve, you're up.
Yes, hi. How are you?
Good.
Good. My question is, if the process fails and they have to get new attorneys to represent them and new experts, what's the incentive to do collaborative to start with?
That's a good question. Thanks for your question, Steve. The team that's put together, and the team is made up of two collaborative attorneys, the mental health professional, who we're calling a facilitator, that person really facilitates the process, the communication, the flow, and the financial professional works very hard. We're very committed to ensuring that does not happen. And our level of commitment generally is what helps these couples successfully resolve their issues. So it doesn't happen very often. And go ahead, Randy.
Well, and Carol Ann talked earlier about the fact that if there is a breakdown in the process, then all the professionals have to withdraw from the case. So we work with this family to help them to realize that they're better suited to resolve their issues than to have to start over and start this whole cycle over and over again and spend money and lose the progress that they've made. And so that, to my mind, is a big part of the incentive, the leverage, the motivation. And I continually remind them about their family and their children and how ultimately they have to settle this. Ultimately, they have to find a way. And so why not find it in a better way?
Mm-hmm. And I think that if you look at what the alternative is to them creating, crafting, designing their own agreement, to going into a cold courthouse where a judge is going to make the decision with no knowledge of their family, their circumstance. It reminds me of that commercial that the family, the husband and wife are at war, and they take a chainsaw down and they saw the house in the middle and the table in the middle, and half of the house flies over the cliff. You know, I mean, that's what the court's going to do. They're just going to slice it right down the middle without any regard for what's in the best interest of that particular family. So the opportunity to create your own solutions, I think, is far more attractive than just, you know, leaving it to the whim of whatever the judge might decide to do.
It and seems like there are a lot of incentives.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And because we as professionals are so passionate about this, we continually work hard with them on seeing the benefits of resolution.
Mm-hmm. Another advantage, too, I think, of this process that we haven't mentioned before is the privacy. When you're going into a litigated case, it's all public record. It's right there in the courthouse for anybody to be able to see. In this process, they can keep it completely private amongst themselves. Their professionals are obviously aware of what they have and what they're doing. But the privacy, I think, could be a very important issue and a great incentive for some folks not to take it to court.
There are many celebrities and high-profile clients who seek collaborative practice because
what if there's
of that.
A prenup agreement?
Carolyn.
Well, if there's a prenup agreement, that would be brought to the table for the team to discuss, and that would be one factor in the resolution of those issues that family has in front of them.
And we move along to Edwin in Miami.
Hi, thank you for taking my call.
Go ahead.
Okay, my question pretty much is I've been separated for about almost a year now, and I'm really want to start the process as far as divorce. Now, what would be the best way to approach the other person in bringing up the topic of beginning the process of divorce?
Well, that's a great question, Edwin, because the first step that you take to talk with the other person about how you want to do this in a different way is really setting the context for doing it in a different way. And so I would encourage that you attempt to have a conversation with the other person about how you want to go about doing this and your motivation for doing it differently than perhaps you've done other things together in the past. You're in Miami, so I would certainly direct you to the Collaborative Family Law Institute, where there are attorneys and mental health professionals and financial professionals who could assist you in ways to talk to your partner about how to do this in the best way.
Now, is that something that I should begin to look up for myself or bring it up to the other person prior to beginning?
Well, that would depend on where you are in your relationship at this point. And if there's any way possible for you to begin a dialogue, to my mind, that, again, sets the context for continued dialogue about how to do this differently.
Okay, perfect. Thank you for your time.
Sure.
Good luck.
We're speaking with Carol Ann Mazza. She's a collaborative family attorney, Luana Mobley Correll, certified financial planner, and Dr. Randy Heller, a licensed mental health counselor, about collaborative divorce. If you do want to join in the conversation, there are lines open. The number is 1-800-743-9576, 1-800-743-9576, or email radio@wlrn.org, or you can tweet us at Topical Currents. Is there a downside to collaborative divorce?
I can't.
You're asking
see.
The wrong people.
Yeah. Yes.
You know, honestly, when, as I said earlier, when I'm talking with couples about this, I talk to them about the fact that, to my mind, it's a no-brainer. Why wouldn't anybody want to be able to sit around with their partner around a table with experts in each area and work through their issues? So as I said before, the healing begins and resolution begins. And though, you know, it has been brought to the attention of all of us as practitioners that there may be people who aren't suited for collaborative practice, and I will say that. And to many of us, everyone's a candidate.
Okay.
And to some, you know, there are, you know, if there are domestic violence issues, we have to pay attention to that. If there's an imbalance of power, we have to pay attention to that. But again, we believe that these people, whoever they are supported by experts in the fields who can help them. And what will happen to them if they go into a courthouse? Those issues won't be resolved.
Those issues would be exacerbated.
That's right.
In the court system.
In your practice, do you find that most men come into this and feel that there's a bias weighted for the woman's concerns?
That's a good question. Yeah. Although I think times are changing in that regard.
Yeah.
And particularly as I spoke to you earlier about custody, you know, it used to be the presumption that, you know, men went to work and women stayed home with their children. Things are changing now. And it's not about who's better suited. Actually, it is about who's better suited to raise the child, or how are the couple best suited to raise their children together, even if they're living apart. So I don't necessarily believe that they fear a bias at this point. And if they do, we try to talk to them about how we work through that.
I read this article talking about how the collaborative divorce seeks to minimize fear, that fear is such a huge factor.
Yeah. Yeah,
do you want to talk about that?
Sure. Yeah, of course. I think it's fear of the unknown. There are so many people who don't know what the next stage of their lives is going to bring. And, you know, Luana's been talking a lot about finances, and there's so much fear around, how am I going to support myself? Mm-hmm. How am I going to support two households? How am I going to manage? Even when we talk about the children, there's so much fear. What's going to happen to our lives?
Will I see my children?
Right,
you know,
right. Or the children are worried mm-hmm. about how their lives are going to change. So absolutely, and we're all sensitive to that and addressing that.
I think this process is unique in that it will help shore up the person who needs the help in a particular area to, like I said before, to bring them to a more level playing field. And I think the fact that where I may spend more time with one person over the other in terms of just helping to educate them, helping them to understand, so that when we're looking at the balance sheet and looking at equitable distribution, that they can understand at least the terms. You know, they go in with a huge amount of fear because they don't have knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
And just helping to raise their level of education will help minimize that to a great degree. Randy does the same thing when it comes to the communication, because when you come into this process, there has to be a certain level of maturity that you have to be able to see from another person's perspective, that you have to put aside the past and look towards the future. And the mental health professional in this process really helps to speak to looking forward as opposed to spending so much time looking back, and helping to develop skills in that area to be able to deal with those things. So I think fear can be really minimized. I don't think it ever goes completely away. Mm-hmm.
And the other thing is that in the participation agreements, all the clients sign an agreement to full transparency.
Mm-hmm.
And Carol Ann can speak to this more, but all information is shared and shared openly amongst the team members, including the couple. And so that's really important.
It's important because the couple is fully invested and involved in this process. From the very beginning, they decide what issues are important. They decide what documents, what information. They help schedule the meetings, et cetera. In a litigated case, they're, in my opinion, fear is alleviated because they're not really involved. They throw their cases into the hands of their lawyers. Their lawyers are interacting. There's letters going back and forth, documents, et cetera. And then the fear is exacerbated because then they're going into a judge who's an unknown person, a stranger, and they don't know what's going to happen. And so that fear continues to be exacerbated. And in this process, the fear can be alleviated because there's information and then there's knowledge and the involvement.
And one of the first questions that we ask them when we meet with them in our initial meeting is, what's your vision for your future? You know, what do you envision you want to see happening in your life when this process is over? And so it gives
them... Do they always know?
Well, they don't always know, but we as a team work to help them to figure that out. Yeah, so when we talk about the unknowns, we help to address the unknowns and create a vision to work towards.
Again, we're speaking about collaborative divorce. On today's Topical Currents, we have some calls that we'll take when we come back from this short break. Welcome back to Wednesday's Topical Currents. Bonnie Berman here with Joseph Cooper. We're speaking with Carol Ann Mazza, a collaborative family attorney, Luana Mobley Corral, a certified financial planner with Crossroads Consulting of South Florida, Inc., and Dr. Randy Heller is a licensed mental health counselor, licensed marriage and family therapist, and more. And we're talking about collaborative divorce. If you want to join in the conversation, do we still... Oh.
Well, we've got to, not a lot of time. We have plenty of callers.
Okay.
So let's take one. This is Harriet in Miami. Hi.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. Mm-hmm. I was wondering if you could address how much flexibility does the couple have in crafting an agreement between themselves versus what a judge might be able to do for them in a courtroom? Oh,
complete.
Yeah, that's a great question, mm-hmm. Harriet. Thanks for calling. The judge in any scenario is limited by the law, and the law is restrictive, and it's not necessarily flexible. In the collaborative case, the sky's the limit for the couple, and the agreements can be as unique as every family is unique. And with the team working with the couple, there's creativity, there's solutions to issues that seem insurmountable. Child support issues, all kinds of issues can really, really be crafted to fit those unique family needs. Did you want to add something?
I think you're the lawyer, but child support is one of those things that there are certain restrictions that we have to abide by the guidelines.
Oh, okay. I understand what you... Yes, of course. Child support is crafted in the law, and there are child support guidelines. And there is also some flexibility with that. So, of course, we would have to take into account that aspect of the situation. But, yes, there's a lot of flexibility.
And I, as the mental health professional, as Carol Ann spoke of earlier, work with the couple on crafting a timeshare agreement that is going to be sustainable and work for the family. And so as the children develop and things change and family circumstances change, they have a timeshare agreement that really fits the family and the family's needs, because many families are unique nowadays, and I don't know what the traditional family looks like anymore. And so they craft that with me based on their unique family.
Okay.
Great.
All right. Okay. Thanks
Thank
so much
you
for
thanks
calling.
For calling.
And we'll move along to Wendy in Fort Lauderdale. Hi.
Hello?
Hi.
Hi, yes. My question is, I admire this process that you're discussing, because I did go through a divorce less than a year ago, mm-hmm. and it was a traumatic experience.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, I'm sorry,
Very
too.
Very sorry.
Thank you. And it seemed everything that I could imagine going wrong went wrong. But I'm moving on, I hope.
Good for you.
The thing that I learned from this, though, is how little education I had going in. And my concern is with divorce on the rise, that really there is a huge problem of miseducation, or maybe no education at all. And I admire the fact that your organization sees, I mean, it's born out of a desperate need to change things. Do you envision addressing it or meeting it at the inception, you know, the have like a I don't want to quote names here, but a eHarmony type
Yeah. eHarmony for divorce. That's
yeah.
a concept.
That's an interesting concept.
I'm not even for divorce. I mean, yeah. like
a premarital.
I went to marriage counseling. Right. I went to marriage counseling, and we didn't brush on any major differences or really examples, even role playing on how to communicate. I think we go really blind, and I think education again is always so good for the success of anything. So I would like to see relationships more successful and have the longevity. I would like to be married again, but I want I know that I want some real counseling to deal with some of those meat and potato issues that come up that we realize we're, you know, stalled on.
Sure. Dr. Heller?
Yeah, Wendy.
So my question is, what's your vision for, are you addressing that end of it? Are you planning to?
Well, I can tell you that, first of all, I'm sorry for your loss, and I'm glad to hear that you're moving forward. What I can tell you is that universities across the nation are beginning to teach about collaborative practice in the law schools, and Nova Southeastern University will be beginning the first course in collaborative law for marriage and family therapists. And so we are teaching and educating new young professionals to talk to their clients very differently about the divorce process. I think what you're asking about is premarital counseling and counseling that can help people to do this differently so that they don't lead to divorce, so that they don't end up divorced. And, you know, our hopes are that some very, very qualified marriage and family therapists and mental health professionals are helping couples to do just that. I'm seeing more of that in my practice now.
Before we go, how about contact information? Carol Ann?
Yes. Are you asking for my phone number or my website?
Whatever you want to give out.
Yes, my website is www.collaborativenow.com, and my phone number is 954-527-4604.
And Luana?
It's L like Luana, M like Mary, Corral, CORRAL.com, LMCorral.com, 954-983-5600, extension 119.
And Dr. Heller?
And I'm at www.familynetworkflorida.com, 954-236-4490.
What causes this process to break down when it does?
If it does, actually, my experience is I have not had any case breakdown. And I think that if that does, maybe it's a situation where the couple was not ready to address openly their issues. They weren't ready to let go of their anger, their feelings of betrayal, and they weren't really open to the process. Maybe one of the people had an ulterior motive or something, but it has never happened in one of my cases.
And I think sometimes you see a lack of trust. Mm-hmm. Of course, there's a lack of trust between individuals who are not communicating and not functioning effectively. And so sometimes that is a reason.
Well, we want to thank you for joining us, Carol Ann Mazza, collaborative family attorney, Carol Ann Mazza, PA. And that's collaborativenow.com. Is that right?
That's right. Thank
you. Okay. And we have Luana Mobley Corral, certified financial planner with Crossroads Consulting of South Florida, lmcorral.com. And Dr. Randy Heller is a licensed marriage and family therapist. And that's familynetworkflorida.com. Thanks so much for being with us today.
Thank you for having us.
And thanks for tuning in this hour. Our producer is Richard Ive. Technical direction from Paul Leary, who's also online producer. Apologies to those callers we couldn't get to. We have free audio archives and downloads of this and previous programs at our website, WLRN.org. More information, links, and discussion at the Topical Currents Facebook page. Tomorrow's program begins with a Tai Chi master who relates the health and meditative values of the martial art. Also, Linda Gastenheimer's Food and Dining with wine columnist Fred Tasker. We'll have a former White House chef on the program. And today's calendar on this day in 1879, 133 years ago, the birth of poet Wallace Stevens in Reading, Pennsylvania. 13 ways of looking at a blackbird, the snowman. And on this day, 1924, 89 years ago, the birth of the late writer Gore Vidal at West Point, New York. Besides volumes of writing, he gave JFK the idea for the Peace Corps. One more with the baseball players' playoffs now underway. On this day in 1951, 62 years ago, the shot heard round the world Bobby Thompson hits the famed game-winning homer off the Dodgers' Ralph Branca.
The Giants win the pennant! The Giants win the pennant!
So we leave with this thought from Gore Vidal, who died last July at age 86. Quote, any American who is prepared to run for president should automatically, by definition, be disqualified from ever doing so. Joseph Cooper for Bonnie Berman. Stay where you are. Here and Now is up next from Where Else But NPR News.